Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
34 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Springer is excused from the call of the House. Representative Schultz is excused until plain time. That's all.
Our chaplain today is Mr. Joel Orlove. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
Grant us peace, your most precious gift, O eternal source of peace, and give us the will to proclaim its message to all the peoples of the earth. Bless our country and our state, that they may always be a stronghold of peace and its advocate among the nations. May contentment reign within her borders, health and happiness within her homes. Strengthen the bonds of fellowship among the inhabitants of all lands, and may the love of your name hallow every home and every heart. Amen.
Representative Collins, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Menard.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask for unanimous consent that the prayer be spread across the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 82nd, 83rd, and the 84th legislative day?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 82nd, 83rd, and 84th days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 82nd, 83rd, and 84th legislative days, as certified, be approved.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals before you today? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Guest for introduction, Representative Hudson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to introduce guest Elizabeth Bishop, who is a long-term Juneau resident and paying her first call here to Juneau on the legislature. Would you help me welcome her, please?
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some guests here from the Yupik School District participating in the close-up program. Please stand as I read your name. The chaperone, Ray DePriest from Akiak. We have the following students from Akichuk: Andrew Quagley, James Moses, Ida Ikamarak, Annie Kinigak, Alice Nick, Teresa Ivanoff, and two people from Akiak, Vernon Williams and Brenda Williams. Please welcome, help me welcome them.
Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a particular pleasure of mine to introduce my family who's here. My oldest son, Bob, is working for Senator Kelly. My second son, Curtis, is in dental school on the Wishy program in San Francisco. He just spent 2 weeks in Haiti on the missionary. And my third son, Steve, is our guest page today. And Dirk is our number four. He's at Harborview second grade. And a special lady, number five, is Mackenzie, and she's three. And please help me welcome also my wife, Linda.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over in Gallery B, Representative Sund and I have a guest here today, and that's Sherry Davis. She's the president of the Alaska Association of School Boards. If you'd please help me welcome her.
Representative Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, in accordance with AS 39580 and Article 3, Section 26 of the Alaska Constitution, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the positions noted and to the Board of Education.
That will go to the Hess Committee.
The Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Judiciary Committee.
The Board of Marine Pilots.
Labor and Commerce and the Transportation Committee.
Professional Teaching Practices Commission.
Hess Committee.
The Alaska Public Offices Commission.
State Affairs.
And the Real Estate Commission.
Labor and Commerce.
I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 15 by Josephson, Eliason, Jones, Jaroff, Fakes, and Sturgiluski relating to the use of Alaska wood products.
Two standing committees, Labor and Commerce and Resources.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 23, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, requesting the Governor to consider appointing a peace officer nominated by the Alaska Peace Officers Association to serve on the Alaska Judicial Council.
One standing committee, Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
I've received two messages. One is a disclosure on of a close economic association, which will be in the supplement, and also from Gerald L. Wilkerson, legislative auditor, we've received reviewed state loans granted or held by legislators and employees of the legislative agencies, and this also will appear in the House supplement. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has considered sponsor substitute for House Bill 57, establishing the Alaska Children's Trust Fund to provide a continuing source of revenue for grants to community-based programs for the prevention of child abuse and neglect, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 57 Finance with the same title, recommends it do pass, attaches a fiscal note, and 4-0 fiscal notes. Report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing DuPass, Porchot, Davis, Wallace, Frank, Larson, Gall, Boyer, Brown, and Swackhammer. Having no recommendation, Rieger and Adams. House Bill 57 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 182, Power Cost Equalization Program, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 182, Labor and Commerce, with the same title. Reports it back as follows with a fiscal note. Report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, signing do pass, Donnelly, signing do not pass, Boucher. Having no recommendation, Ellis, Copeland, Davidson, Furness, and Menard. House Bill 182 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
I have none.
This brings us down to the introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reference first.
Oh, excuse me, I do have a House Concurrent Resolution 22 by Ulmer, requesting the Governor to designate May 10th through 16th, 1987 as Historic Preservation Week in the state.
That'll be referred to State Affairs.
Now I have no further resolutions and I'm down to House Bills.
Introduction, first reading, and reference to House Bills. Representative Wallace. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you. I have some students here from Tuluksac. Tuluksac is on the Kuskokwim River. Iowaska, Alexi, Nellie Napoca, and Joanne Andrew. Please help me welcome them.
Any further guests for introduction? Back down the daily calendar, we're under introduction, first reading, and reference to House Bills.
House Bill 267 by Brown and Sund, an act placing development specialists in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development in the partially exempt service and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 268 with a governor's transmittal letter and a zero fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the governor, an act relating to unemployment insurance.
Labor and Commerce, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 269 by Barnes and Furness by request, an act relating to eligibility for veterans' interest rates for housing mortgage loans.
State Affairs, Health, Education, and Social Services, and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down the calendar to the daily calendar with Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, may we please have a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're about to enter in the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 172 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Marine Pilots and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 172, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero physical note with an analysis. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Signing do pass, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Boucher, Kopanen, and Donnelly. Furness has no recommendation. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute and do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman. Concurring, Adams, Porchot, Larson, Swackhammer, Boyer, Rieger, Wallace, Davis, and Gall. Brown has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill number 172 be adopted.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the CS Labor and Commerce? Hearing no objection, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill number 172 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Any objection to the advancement motion from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee Substitute for House Bill 172, Labor and Commerce by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act relating to the regulation of marine pilots, extending the termination date of the Board of Marine Pilots and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 172 is a labor and commerce piece of legislation that extends the Board of Marine Pilots for 4 years and expands the disciplinary powers of the board so that they're better able to police their own members. When the bill came before the Labor and Commerce Committee, at the request of the board and the Division of Occupational Licensing, we added some language that's consistent with the House Bill 222, which is a measure to extend the power of the Omnibus Licensing Bill, which extends the powers of all boards and commissions, similar to those provisions you see added in the Labor and Commerce version before the body today. The Legislative Budget and Audit Committee completed a performance audit on the Board of Marine Pilots, and they concluded that the board was necessary for public safety and should be continued. House Bill 172 has been endorsed by the Division of Occupational Licensing and has a zero fiscal note.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 172, Labor and Commerce, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 172, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill number 172, Labor and Commerce.
There is an effective date that we should adopt with that, isn't it? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the final vote on final passage of House Bill 172 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted, and there's also a notice of reconsideration upon House Bill 172. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 178 by Donnelly, Hanley, Grunberg, Collins, Ellis, and Kopanen. An act extending the termination date of the Board of Nursing and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 178, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, recommends it be passed and attaches a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Concurring, Donnelly, Ellis, Davidson, Menard, Kopanen, and Boucher. Furness has no recommendation. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute and do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman. Concurring, Adams, Porchot, Larson, Swackhammer, Boyer, Rieger, Wallace, Brown, Davis, and Gall. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill number 178 be adopted.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the committee substitute, Labor and Commerce? Hearing none, that CS has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill number 178 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Any objections to the advancement motion? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 178, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee. An act relating to the practice of nursing, extending the termination date of the Board of Nursing and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, House Bill 178 is another sunset bill that extends the Board of Nursing for 4 years. Similar situation to the previous legislation. In the Labor and Commerce Committee, the Board and the Division of Occupational Licensing Act asked us to expand the disciplinary powers of the Board. Those provisions were added to the Board in the Labor and Commerce version, and the technical changes are underlined and their purpose is apparent in the legislation. The expansion of the disciplinary powers is in Section 10. Under current law, the Board can only revoke a license. The changes to the disciplinary powers asked for by the Board in the division are consistent with the omnibus licensing bill passed by the Labor and Commerce Committee last week. House Bill 178 has a zero fiscal note and is strongly supported by the Board and by the division. Currently, the Board of Nursing does not have the ability to use its discretion in even accepting a license if a nurse chooses to surrender a license. So this merely expands their discretionary powers to provide them with more options of how they conduct their own policing of their own profession.
Any further debate? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we please have a brief of these?
Would the House please stand it? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Any further debate? Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 178, Labor and Commerce, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 178, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's an effective date clause. I move and ask unanimous consent that the final vote on passage of House Bill number 178, Labor and Commerce, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill number 178.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
The committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 4, rules amended by the Rules Committee, relating to a nuclear weapons-free zone in the Arctic, the subarctic, and the world. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
Third reading, under debate. Are you ready for the question? Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, could we have an at ease, please?
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the resolution before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any further debate? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We really didn't have much debate except that we were changing amendments last time. And since that time, I think that it has been really improved quite a bit. But I wanted to bring it to the attention of the members that I really believe that the first and most important function of the United States government is to ensure the security from foreign invasions of any one individual states. And that's the number one purpose. If you go back into the history of the United States after the Revolutionary War, it was amazing how some of the states, because things got a little rough in protecting themselves, and were ready to secede from the Union. And finally, better people got together and made the others realize what we were fighting for. And it was not only England, but it was also Spain and France that were, not France, but Spain and Canada that were looking at the United States and willing to take over some of our territories where they thought we were weak. So I think it's most important to realize that the most important function of our union is the defense of all states. And that's why I'm glad that we changed this and deleted just Alaska out of it. Because that's what some of the original 13 states, especially Rhode Island, wanted to do. After they won their freedom at the cost of all other states, then they wanted to succeed a little bit because they didn't want to participate in the union defending one and all. And I find ourselves in that same situation. So here, by saying that we are concerned about all of our brothers and sisters in all the states, and of course in the world, then it makes much more sense to pursue this message. And also, the message, I think, is telling the people across the nation and in the world that we think that President Reagan, in the last few years, and especially at the current talks today, in Russia with Secretary Schultz and in Geneva, is on the right track, and that he is concerned about a true, open, safeguarded, multilateral and bilateral investigation and verification of war weapons and nuclear war weapons. It will always be war weapons, but this is the one that people really fear. And by passing a positive resolution that I think we have today, tells the world but does not jeopardize Alaska or America. And I think that right now we have a fair resolution that recognizes the effort of our government, and that I feel right now, if there's any weakness, it would be cleaned up in the other body. But right now I feel a lot better than I did last Friday about it. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to say very briefly that the telegram we received from the Secretary of State, or I received and you received some time ago, I passed it around, but it says, quote, any kind of nuclear freeze vote from Alaska will do serious foreign policy damage. The fact is, Mr. Speaker, I will vote against this because we have literally no expertise in this body regarding the kind of substantive
negotiations that are going on. We've got no business dealing in this issue. I think it's a slap in the face that our congressional delegation telling them what they already know, that the people of this state want to have a peaceful world. They don't need to be reminded of that, in my opinion. And thirdly, I think it's a waste of our time. Thank you.
Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to call the body's attention to page 3 of the work draft of this new resolution. After the amendments were made last Wednesday on the floor of this body, I feel that the resolution at this point kind of really doesn't mean much. If you look at lines 19 through 21, because we added the language in the entire world on line 21, we now say that we prevent all parties from disposing of radioactive and nuclear waste and materials in the Arctic, the subarctic, and now the whole world. We go further down to lines 27 through 29 and say, through a resolve, that we do not seek to limit the use of nuclear technology for medical treatment or other safe and benign purposes. Mr. Speaker, those two statements are mutually exclusive. We can't do one and do the other two. You either have waste, if you have technology, whether it's used for peaceful purposes or not, or you don't have waste because you have no nuclear technology. Mr. Speaker, unless and until this resolution can have that exclusion taken out of it, I can't support it.
Representative Sun.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to speak in favor of the resolution and the concept here of that we're asking people to participate in discussions about getting establishing and encouraging verifiable bilateral and multilateral agreements. We're not unilaterally disarming here. We're just saying sit down with the other side, see if you can come to a conclusion where you have multilateral or bilateral agreements which are verifiable. And I would certainly hope that's why Secretary Shultz is going to Moscow, is to do that. If he's not, I think we're all in trouble. And I think passing a resolution saying the state of Alaska encourages him to do that, encourages our country to sit down with the other side and see if we can reach some mutual bilateral and verifiable agreements is perfectly within our purview as citizens of this country to express our point of view on it. And I would encourage people to support the resolution.
Any further debate? Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. I'm glad that the representative from Anchorage brought the error that was made on the last Wednesday to our attention, and I think this points out one of the problems with floor amendments from time to time. However, I think that we are placing ourselves in a position to justify the existence of a bicameral legislature and hope that the other body catches our error and takes care of it for us. Since I did not move the amendment myself, I'm not going to request that be struck at this point at all. And however, to return to the resolution itself, I think that the Minority Leader has brought up a point that the Secretary of State is opposed to any vote for nuclear freeze in Alaska. However, that vote took place last summer. Every district in Alaska carried that vote. Each one of you represents a district where the majority of people voted for a nuclear freeze. This resolution, in its original form and even in its somewhat damaged state now, does not call for a nuclear freeze, but for mutual, verifiable, bilateral, multilateral treaties governing an orderly process of establishing nuclear free zones area by area. To be sure, we have neither the authority nor the expertise to engage in those resolutions or, and those negotiations ourselves. However, I think it is does behoove us to, shall we say, follow our constituency in this regard and move forward to urge negotiate such negotiations and such a verifiable result, and hope that the administration does have the expertise and the ability to negotiate such treaties and to make sure that they are mutually verifiable. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Many other areas of this country have taken those steps. I think that it is our time and our responsibility to work and walk toward that end by supporting this resolution. Thank you.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 4, rules amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
29 yeas, 10 nays.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 4, rules amended, has passed the House. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration for my vote on committee substitute House Joint Resolution number 4.
Nor is reconsideration on the joint resolution. Some final action on some citations. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have 9 citations on the calendar today, and I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt those citations.
Are there any objections as the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, the citations have been adopted. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Phillips.
Speaker, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration on House Bill 93.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 93, Finance amended by the Finance Committee, an act establishing 6 recreation rivers and providing for an effective date.
Okay, the bill is before us in third reading. Representative Phillips.
I'm just waiting for it to be on the board here. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move to go from third to second reading for a recension on amendment number 6.
Okay. The motion here is to return to from third to second reading for the purposes of rescinding our action in relation with amendment number 6. Is that failing to adopt or adopting? Adopting.
Adopting.
Okay. Are there any objections? Hearing objections, Representative Phillips.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I think most of the members on this body have a memo from one of our legal people in the legal department. And we should go ahead and read it, but I do believe I was essentially right on the floor on Friday that we are making this more restrictive for snow machiners. And I feel that we should leave the language as is and rescind our vote on adopting number 6.
The motion before us to return to second reading with a little bit of latitude. Are there any objections to returning to second reading? Hearing no objections, we are in second reading. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we rescind amendment number 6 as adopted on Friday.
Are there any objections? Representative Davis.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to object just for clarification on what exactly amendment number 6 did. There was the original amendment deleted powerboats and snow machines, and then it was amended to delete powerboats. So what exactly are we, could you restate the amendment, please?
Representative Phillips.
Be more than happy to, Mr. Speaker, as soon as I find the section. If the members, there's on their desk, there's a packet of amendments which we have either approved or disapproved on Friday. You turn to amendment number 6, page 2, line 13. We had deleted the word snow machines, and I believe we ought to leave that back in, because if we don't, we're restricting the use of snow machiners in these six rivers.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since the amendment was one that I had made, I might comment on the motion. I still can feel that snow machines should be allowed in within the Rec Rivers plan, and I guess my concern is still the same, where it says on page 2, under compatible activities, the commissioner shall allow, and when compatible with, you know, and I think that there can be problems in compatibility on the uses between snow machiners or dog mushers or even skiers, and I'm wondering why we are not including the other activities such as hiking, dog mushing, and skiing in section 210. And I guess I have concerns that the snow machining activities might be restricted when they're in the same classification as or categories with aircraft and power boats and all-terrain vehicles. I know that these may be more hazardous than dog mushing and skiing, but I still think that the snow machining activities shall be allowed, and not just when compatible in a plan. But I guess I don't have any objection to the proposed motion.
Are there any objections in relation with rescinding the House action in adopting amendment number 6? Hearing no objection, that puts amendment number 6 before us. We rescinded the action. Now the amendment is before us. Are you ready for the question? The question, Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, does the motion amendment number 6 have to be moved again?
The amendment, we rescinded the action, not the amendment. Representative Gall, would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come to order? Before the at ease, we have the bill before us in third reading and under reconsideration. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I do not own any land in the areas, even anywhere near any of these areas described. I do not have a conflict interest in this legislation.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to, I did work on the subcommittee in finance that considered this section, and I wanted to state that I disagree with the interpretation that Legislative Council has made in this memo that's distributed to the members. I think it was, at least as I understood the intent of the committee, it was the intent that the activities listed on page 2 under subsection A would be allowed or shall be allowed if they pass those two tests of being compatible with the purposes and consistent with a management plan. That does not necessarily imply that they would be regulated in the traditional sense by having adoption of regulations. And so I just was bothered by the language in this memo from the Legislative Council and wanted to state that for the record.
Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I voted against this legislation Friday because
some last-minute concerns that were brought to me by constituents, but after looking into the matter further, I'm convinced that this is probably the best form this legislation should take at this time, and I'm going to support it.
Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the member from Wrangell talking about the power boats and the size of the power boats and all that, we certainly, I can consider and think we do not want to put anybody at risk of life and everything else. And when we did work on the bill, we were talking about rivers like the Big Susitna River and the Yetna River, which are large rivers and can take large power boats, and we took amended out of the bill where it did not affect the intersections where the rivers come in. The six rivers that we are talking about are smaller rivers, and I think we're looking at competing uses in here, and that those areas will be handled with the management plan. And like I stated before, when the bill was up on the floor, I think the bill is a very positive bill. I think it has a lot of balance in it, and I think the concerns of the representative from Wrangell are handled in the bill. But I think the day and age where we can go out and just do our own thing and have our own fishing hole and everything else, in some areas in Alaska is gone. And I think we have to look at managing these areas and working through the process, whether we like it or not. And I am strongly supporting the bill. Thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I voted for this bill on Friday, and I'm going to vote for it again today because I felt that it was a good balanced prototype. We've got a lot of rivers around here that are just developing. I've lived on the Kenai River, and I saw it really spoiled, I think, in many respects, and now they're going to extreme control situations there. I live on the Mendenhall River now, and I could see where this could apply at some point in time to that. And I don't fear it because I think it's a good balanced application, and I'd like to see this kind of legislation. Thank you.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd call the House on the final passage on this bill.
Okay, the House has been called. I think the call has been satisfied, isn't it? Yeah, the call is satisfied. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I spoke in opposition to this bill on Friday. I will maintain my opposition to the bill, and those that think that they're going to get multiple use out of this piece of legislation, I would suggest that they pay very close attention to the management plan in the future, because the management plan is what is going to be the implementing document that will say whether or not the people of the state of Alaska can continue to use these rivers as they have in the past. And I suggest to you, Mr. Speaker, that by the time the management plan is finished, there will be very little boating, snow machining, and other uses that have been taking place on this land in the past.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 93, finance amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
30 yeas, 9 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 93, finance amended, has passed the House on reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on final passage of Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 93 be considered the roll call on the effect.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Unfinished business. Any further unfinished business? A announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today at 4:30, the International Trade Subcommittee will hear from Mr. Larry Rochelieu, who is the director of the Mount Edgecombe School. He will be addressing us on the Pacific Rim curriculum that they have developed at that school and has become a very successful program. Thank you.
Representative Sund.
Can we move up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker, from my town of Ketchikan and Representative Taylor in my district, I'd like to introduce Elwood and Irma Mead in Gallery B, who are up here to testify on the community college bill.
Any further guests for introduction? Back to committee announcements, standing or special. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Wednesday, along with our calendar, we'll hear House Bill 127. That's an act relating to the supplemental appropriations.
Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Finance Subcommittee on the Legislature's budget will be holding a hearing on the legislature budget this Thursday, 1:30 p.m. in House Finance.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our Subcommittee on House Bill 126 basically completed its subcommittee work this morning. So tomorrow morning at 8:30, I'd like to call a subcommittee meeting on our public safety subcommittee. So those on the public safety subcommittee tomorrow morning at 8:30 in the House Finance Room.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce the Bill Egan Forum tomorrow noon in the Baranoff Hotel will feature Commissioner Myra Munson of the Department of Health and Social Services discussing the Mental Health Lands Trust. Also, I'd urge the members to retain their packets, bill packets, on the House Joint Resolution 172, Marine Pilots, House Bill 172, Marine Pilots, House Bill 178, Nursing, and House Joint Resolution 4, Nuclear Free.
Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to note for members that the meeting days for the Children's Caucus has been changed from Mondays to Tuesdays, so members are invited to join us tomorrow at noon in the Butrovich Room.
Any further announcements? Special orders. Representative Sawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I have two, and if I can have a little leeway with the body here, I'd like to follow both of them up. One of them, on an enlightening note, if most of you remember last week, Friday, I introduced several students from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's.
Continue, Representative.
Whatever I forgot, I apologize.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We were in attendance here last week, and as I mentioned that, those seven students raised almost $3,500 to come down to Juneau to watch our governmental process. I would also take the time to make a few remarks that I've been talking about, trying to discuss for several days. A recent newspaper article applauds the efforts of more than 1,000 high school students in the Anchorage, Girdwood, and the Mat-Su Valley just a few weeks ago. They staged a 16-hour dance marathon in which they contributed over $17,000 to assist the Muscular Dystrophy Association with its vital programs of patient services in the state. Whether those students' efforts reflected a knowledge that there are fewer dollars in this state to go around than there have been recently, or whether those students have acknowledged a responsibility and a caring for their fellow persons, whether they were challenged by a necessity they recognized and met, or whether those 1,000 young Alaskans actually have volunteered their times, and I believe that's exactly what they did. They showed us that they volunteered their times, their energy, and their dollars in a demonstration of something which should make us proud to be Alaskans. Again, they volunteered. Mr. Speaker, when the Volunteers of Alaska, by whatever names they may be called, Boy or Girl Scouts, senior citizens, cabin raisers, emergency workers, or dancing kids, put their shoulders to the need, it can be met. Let us hope that many more Alaskans will learn or relearn from the example of these kids. Let us hope that many will be reminded how things used to be done and maybe go back to the volunteerism that we used to have. I thank you. Mr.
Representative Zawicki.
I may also make a note, if I may, that unfortunately the only media advertisement these students got was a letter to the editor several weeks ago. How unfortunate that our media does not pick up something as important that our students are doing in this state. Mr. Speaker, on a more somber note, I would like to attract your attention to the House this morning to the passing away of Mrs. Mary Miller. She was taken suddenly ill last Thursday afternoon and passed away early Saturday morning. Mrs. Miller had lived in Juneau for some 25 years and raised 8 children here. One of those children is known to many of you in this house. She's my very valued legislative assistant, Telly Miller. Mrs. Miller, in addition to being a busy mother of 8, was very active in her church, the Cathedral of the Nativity here in Juneau, and an unfailing supporter of her late husband, Ross Miller, who is well known because of his many civic activities of the past. Ross Miller was known to a generation of Juneau people as an organizer and a backer of many sports activities, from which he left his children a strong legacy of involvement in the sports and also of this city. Bishop Kenny of the Archdiocese told us this morning that he only knew of the very private Mrs. Mary Miller, who had raised a wonderful family in a home that was always full of warmth and love, and as a woman whose presence in the church was always a special light and grace. Mrs. Miller will be sorely missed by her family, her many friends, and her church. But those of us who knew her best are certain that she has gone to a beautiful reward. And Mr. Speaker, without any objection, I would like to ask the body of the House for at least a moment of silence.
Would the House remain silent? Thank you, Representative Zawicki, for your thoughts. Under special orders, Representative Menard.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Can we move up back up to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Larson and I do have a guest that we've kind of missed over there in the corner. We didn't see her, but her name is Lucy Bakulis, and she is a school teacher in the Mat-Su Borough. Please help me welcome her.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.